Monaco debrief part two. Let's go.
Hello, everybody.
What a weekend. It's been crazy mega busy,
yeah,
hasn't
it? Yeah, it's been a one where I can't really explain the emotion.
Yeah.
It's not been... I feel like I'm kind of getting used to the fact that Max isn't going to win the whole season. And also, I'm starting to think that might be, as is too soon to say, like an actual battle for the championship.
Oh!
Both sides this season.
Yeah, I agree. What are we now? Red Bull, Ferrari, McLaren, Mercedes, which is exciting. And yeah, given Checo's marvellous crash that he had, that was quite something.
They obviously pulled the red flag, and the only thing that I saw, sorry, I'm just trying to put my laptop in, was Carlos had gone off the side of the track. So I was like, that's an odd red flag. And then they panned to the car, and I did feel a bit sick.
Yeah, same. So I was in the garage at Donington, and I was looking, I was like streaming it on my phone, and I was like, what's going on? And then, as you said, I saw Carlos go off, and then my stream sort of jittered, and I was like, what is going on? Stream, and then it kind of like jittered a bit, and then I saw Carlos go off, it froze again, and then all of a sudden it was a red flag, and Checo's car was like tiny, and I was like, what on earth has just happened?
We did say, though, I think the damage to the car did look worse than the crash. And while the crash did, it did look really bad and could have been so much worse, I think it looked like he got squashed between them both. And that didn't, he only just tapped Nico. But really bad. Kevin Magnussen, did I make a prediction like Kevin Magnussen won't crash this weekend or something?
I don't know. Yeah, because you said he was going to be on his best behaviour because he's like this close to a race ban, but...
But how is that not... I just think they're never going to give someone a race ban. Like, I understand it was a lap one incident. But I feel like a lap one incident only occurs in the first corner.
Yeah, no, I agree.
And Esteban Ocon and Pierre Gasly.
Yeah, what happened with that? I didn't see that.
So, Esteban saw a gap and went for it, I reckon. But he tapped Pierre, which made his car go over. But it's caused, like, it was unnecessary.
Right.
And I understand the point of, like, well, if you've got you've got the first lap to overtake in Monaco and then it's it, really, which is really annoying because we see it in the FE and the F2 that they all overtake absolutely fine. I know the cars are bigger, but that Bruno Famin said, I believe that Esteban Ocon's attack was completely out of circumstances. That's exactly what we didn't want to see. We will draw the consequences and we'll decide straight away.
I saw that on Twitter afterwards and I was like, oh, is Esteban going to have a seat soon?
Well, then he said that to Canal Plus, I think, and then the communications team came up and was like, oh, it was just said in heat of the moment and stuff. But them two... It's really frustrating because they are both good drivers, and I think Pierre made a comment like, he's a good driver, but he can't be doing this. And
yeah.
I was like, yeah, and sadly, they just can't be on a team together.
No, I agree. I think Alpine really like the idea of being an all-French team. They've got an all-French drivers, but it's just not... they're just clashing, well, literally.
Apart from that, nothing then happened in the
race. I kept dropping in and out of the timings, and I was like, literally nothing's happening. Like, what's going on?
So, there was obviously no pit stop. Well, there was a few pit stops, but none of the top teams pitted, apart from Hamilton and Verstappen did. But
right.
It's a big difference, because basically, when they red flagged, half the grid were on mediums, half of them were on hards. The people that were on hards then had to go on mediums, apart from Logan Sargeant didn't. So he had to pit. I don't know what Williams are doing there. But so George Russell knew from the first lap that he needed to keep them tires to the end and created a 14-second gap.
Oh, it's marvellous.
So that then held back Max Lewis. Yuki was behind for a while, but then he had like a minute gap.
Right.
So it was just kind of like the top four closed the whole race. And apart from near the end when I blinked and Oscar was 8 seconds behind Leclerc, I was like, when did that happen?
Yeah, because I looked at the timings about lap 70, was it 78 laps altogether? I was about lap 74 and I was like, sorry, when did Charles get so far ahead?
There was obviously a discussion of like, should they be able to change tyres in a red flag? Like, obviously they need to because of stand and start situations, like used tyres, but
yeah.
I feel like you should have to change in the race. So, yeah. For example, in the F2, you can't change your tyres before lap 6.
Okay.
And there's the safety car, you can, but you still have to change again.
Mm. See, I don't see why those regulations don't just cascade up to what it is, because surely that would make so much sense in consistency for the viewer as well. And the drivers.
And the drivers, like, there's a lot of inconsistency in rules as well. Mm. I'm sure they can't pit in the F2 under a VSC.
Okay, interesting.
So, that's what, so in the race on Sunday, it was Zach O'Sullivan was at the front, and he had, like, 4 laps to go and hadn't pitted yet. And someone went off the track, and he got in the pits before they called the VSC.
Right.
So that's okay. And Isaac Hadjar, you can see the passion of them. He was fuming.
That's in radios from this.
And, like, he was like, no one speak to me. How has this happened? And everyone was just saying, this is Monaco. And I was like,
yeah,
like, situations like that. But I think something needs to be done for Monaco to make people not be like, nothing happened in the race.
No, I agree.
You saw some overtakes near the end, like Bottas overtook Logan Sargeant, then Logan Sargeant overtook Joe Guanyu in the end, and then there was some, like, mishaps, like Stroll had a puncture, but he was able to get into the pits, and his tyre flew off in the pit. Mm. So it was like everything just kind of worked out for the best for the drivers, but in terms of racing, nothing really.
Yeah, somebody was saying, like, to make it a bit more exciting, obviously we're not really going to reduce the size of the cars.
Someone said take out corner 10 and 11, which is where they go, like, the where Mick Schumacher had his crash.
Yeah.
That would make a longer thing. There is, I feel like there is overtaking opportunities, but it's also too risky.
Yeah. Make the tunnel a DRS zone.
Oh, that'd be scary though, wouldn't it?
It would be terrifying, but it'd be good.
Was it in the F2 where...
Oh my god, yeah, that little manoeuvre. God, the reactions
on... It was an okay... Like, it's hard because it was actually a really bad race, but Charles...
You don't want to say anything bad about Monaco, do you?
No, and Charles finally winning. Like, I wasn't emotional when he crossed... Like, when Lando crossed the line, I was emotional.
Yeah.
I only got emotional for Charles when everyone was... When he was talking about it, when his brother was talking about it, when the prince was basically crying.
Oh my god, I know.
And I just felt like, you know what, this is another... So with Lando's win, everyone was happy for him. This is another circumstance of when he deserved that race, and it's finally happened for him.
I know. It was such a satisfying feeling, and seeing them jumping into, like, the marine... Is it the marine or the harbour?
Yeah.
I mean... Yeah, I know it's Monaco, but that's not going to be clean water, let's be realistic. But it was just such a nice moment to see, and I think he really deserved it as well.
Yeah, it is good. And I'll check the standings, but he's not too far off. But in terms of the standings in the drivers, Max is on 169 and Charles is on 138.
It's not impossible. No,
Lando's on 113 and Carlos is on 108, and then the next is Perez. And then in the constructors, this is where it's really close. Red Bull are on 276 and Ferrari on 252. And I think this is now where they are going to have to look back at Sergio. Because last year, obviously Sergio was doing poor, but they were so far ahead, it didn't really matter.
Yeah.
But now, he is not pulling his weight in terms of they are probably going to struggle to... fly ahead of the rest this season. And that crash wasn't his fault, but he didn't qualify well, hence why he was at the back. And you know, when you're at the back, things can happen. He's not had a race where you're like, wow, Sergio's drove
really well. You've not had one of those ones where it's just like, yes, like,
tipping along. And with Ferrari having such a good pairing, McLaren having such a good pairing, and you know, if Mercedes car was there, I do think they'd be up there as well. I think they're gonna have more. I know they've kind of said he's confirmed for next year, but I think now that their reliability is not there.
Yeah, and if you look at, like, the McLaren lineup a few years ago, Daniel was supposedly locked in for a few years, and that all went to shit. So anything can happen.
Yeah. Get Liam Lawson in the seat.
Fully.
I love
fully
him.
Fully here for that. Get Liam Lawson in the seat.
Or Carlos.
That could be exciting.
Well, have you seen there's now talks about him going to Williams?
Oh, don't even. I saw the mock-up of that imagery and I was like, no, get him.
The one where it had, like, him in a Red Bull, him in the Williams suit.
Yeah, I was like, sorry, get him out of that. It looks disgusting.
I know. I just kind of, like, think, before the summer break, please have it confirmed.
Just have something announced, please. Yeah.
He's clearly got options, which is great to see. He's a great driver and he deserves to be on the grid. But like we were saying, like, it deserves to be with a good team.
Yeah, if he goes to Williams, he might as well just not drive, in my opinion. Also this weekend, we've had the Indy 500. Did you see that last lap?
No.
Yeah, but that last lap, so basically, Joseph Newgarden, but... So it was between Joseph and Pato, and I think Pato has missed out on it. Yeah, he's missed out on it for a couple of years now. And he overtook Joseph Newgarden, literally had it most of the way round. Second to last corner, Joseph overtook him and just took the win. And oh my God, it's actually heartbreaking to see the post-race interview with Pato because he's gutted. It is, genuinely, I felt so bad for him. But yeah, McLaren have done well this weekend, but just not quite the top. Like, they've got P2 in Indy, P2 in F1, and P2 in FE.
Yeah, Nick DeVries got driver of the day, didn't he?
Yeah, I don't know
why.
Did
he finish?
Nick DeVries came P16, so I'm a bit confused with that one. I can't quite...
Did they do two races this weekend, or just one?
Yeah, Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah, maybe that was it. I think he got it on the Saturday.
Yeah, DeVries was P7.
Because Taylor Barnard did really well in the F2 sprint.
Obviously, he did!
It was really good to see, because you see them struggle, like we were saying on the other episode, with changing different cars. And he won the sprint, so that's good that he was able to just get straight back into it. Cause...
You also see the major crash that happened in British GT when I was there.
No!
I'm not joking, about 7 cars were beached. This is what happened at Donington Park this weekend. Let me just make sure it focuses for you.
I see. Oh! Why are they all going off?
Because they were on slicks in the wet. There was a massive downpour.
Oh my God! Oh my God! It's just... They just keep coming.
Wait.
So yeah. That was red flagged.
A weekend full of crashes, you could say. Talking about crashes, have you seen the video of the yacht?
Oh my God, yeah. What? That was...
No, who took the video? Logan Sargent's brother.
I know! That was so niche.
Because I was on my Snap, I follow him on Instagram, and he put, like, you can't park there, mate. And then I kept seeing the video, and I thought... Oh my God, only in Monaco.
Did you see the Red Bull mechanic? What's his name? He's been on a few podcasts before. Yeah, he put on Twitter something saying, like, some girl just came over to me saying, my dad said I can have a bit of this car. And she was just like, absolutely not.
Someone replied, probably the Prince of Monaco's daughter.
Yeah.
Speaking of memes, this is Esteban Ocon, LinkedIn, open to work. We'll pop him up on the screen.
Esteban Ocon is going to be unemployed.
This is Ocon and Gasly. This was the best. The one of children. This will always be. As in, this one raced so boring, they got dad cams. And it was just Carlos Sainz Senior, like, and Len Lando's dad noticed and started laughing his head off.
I always find it really awkward when you see one of them or, like, somebody on the TV screen looking at the TV screen, knowing full well that they are on the TV screen looking at themselves.
I think, this might be controversial to say, they're caught into their partners too much.
Yeah, I agree.
And it's once in the race is fine, like, really nice to see their reactions, but you can tell they're just, like, yeah. Get the camera off. And they cut to Alex and Rebecca so much in this race. And obviously, they cut to her at one point really nervous. And I just thought...
It's not fair.
They actually got a cameraman just stood in there. But they weren't in the garage this time, which makes more sense. And I just think, like, You don't want to race. It's absolutely fine. Like, it's understandable. It happens, but it must have caught to them both quite a few times. Mm. It's a Canada next, which apparently they've resurfaced the track, Max was saying. Mm. Also, Max, did you see the
voice? Oh, my God, about bringing a pillow.
He just hates it. Max, he's not at the front.
He's not interested.
But I was saying to my mum, because she was like, why are they struggling? I said, they have always struggled in traffic.
Mm. They're just used to being out in front all the time.
They, or like, he could get through at certain tracks, but we've seen even, like, last year, if he was, you know, in the park, he would get through at the time, but they weren't a car that is good in traffic. That's why Checo, I think, doesn't do as
because he just doesn't qualify as well.
Finally hoping it's Oscar Piastri's time.
It's coming. It's coming. I mean, it's taken not as long as it did for Lando, but it is coming.
Yeah, because he really was really close.
When have we next got a sprint race?
Ooh, is it in one of the European ones?
Oh, is it?
Is it Austria? Yeah, Austria and then the British Grand Prix. We're going, guys.
I actually can't wait. I'm so excited.
Especially now that, like, there is hope.
Yeah. Now there's a potential of somebody who's British being P1.
Yeah. Even Lewis always does well at the British Grand Prix.
He does.
So, I am really excited now, and I feel like it's not settled that actually we've got... This is going to be an interesting season near the end. Mm. We're not going to have in Texas the winner, I don't think. I don't agree. Call. I think this will go down to the last race.
We could have an Abu Dhabi 2021 all over again.
Imagine. Or even it could go down to Vegas. Imagine, that'd be great for us.
That'd be really good. I need to pack because I'm off again.
Going to the Nürburgring?
I am. Like,
I'm really excited for you.
I've got besties there now. I was speaking to Raffaele Marciello, which for those who don't know, he is known as like the king of GT racing. Like, he put him in a GT car, he's putting it somewhere in the top. This weekend he did that this mad thing that nobody's ever done in British GT racing, where you whack the fresh pair of tyres on, he did one lap in them, came back in, whacked another fresh pair of tyres on and put it on like P2 or something. And that BMW shouldn't be up there, basically.
Is it a 24-hour race?
It is.
So how do you prep yourself for that?
I don't know. I have no idea. I don't know how it's going to go down.
To see from, obviously the drivers train for that and they have brakes. I only really know how a 24-hour race works because this is really embarrassing, really sorry, the Gran Turismo film.
I've not seen that yet.
It's so good.
I also spoke to Jessica Hawkins this weekend, which was quite nice.
Didn't she
got her first podium.
Yeah.
I felt really bad because she was literally like, she took a selfie with somebody and was literally about to leave and I was like, Jessica, please can I have a quick chat, please?
It's good she still got sweet to her, which is really
nice. So she was really lovely. But yeah, successful weekend, and hopefully this weekend coming up is going to be even more exciting. I don't know what I'm wearing. It's meant to be raining but warm, but I'm also going to be inside quite a lot. So I'm like,
You'll have to vlog as well, because it'd be really interesting to see from like the other side what it's like and how you get through a 24-hour race.
It's going to be a struggle.
Yeah, I'm really excited to see like that side of it. One that's not necessarily like working strictly in it, but also not there as a spectator as well.
Yeah, I'll report back. I'll vlog it. I'll report back, and then you can all enjoy it with me.
Yeah, really good. And then when's Le Mans?
Le Mans is, I think it's the 16th of June, which I'm hoping I'll be able to get in for. Are you going to be watching this year?
Yeah, I watched it last year, to be honest. I watched it, like, during the night time, which maybe is the worst time to watch it.
No, that's the best time to watch it.
Just, like, while I was awake and just put it on. And, like, that's a shame I missed the Indy 500, because it is good to watch. Like, obviously, they're the triple crown. Indy 500, Monaco and Le Mans. So definitely we'll be tuning in. It's not something I understand, but as the years go on, and I think we'll see more people take part in it that, like, we know.
Like, we've got Jensen in it this year. I mean, he drove in it last year, but he did it in a NASCAR last year. This year he's actually with a team. He's with a Porsche customer team, so that's exciting. But yeah, that's the 12th to the 16th of June. But it's this, it's a whole thing. Like, it starts so early on with the qualifying and things like that. So yeah, exciting.
You'll have to teach me beforehand.
Yeah, I will.
Like, what the qual? Because how do you even qualify for a 24-hour race?
Yeah, there's like different stints and things like that, and then there's something called hyperpole. But we can do a whole other episode on that.
We need that. We need that. I feel like this year, other series are on the up.
Emerging. Yeah.
Emerging. That's the word. Because of like what the end of last season was, and what the start of this one is. Like, people have started to venture out and like. As much as F1 will always be my sole interest and my love, I'm not getting, like, some races you're not getting that satisfaction from it, whereas, like, that's why I watch the Formula 2, that's why you really like WEC and ALMS.
Okay.
And even, like, the Formula E as well. It's just a shame the Formula E is now not as accessible because it's not on Channel 4
anymore. Yeah, if you sat there complaining about how bad the racing is, which it's not actually that bad. Like you say, I do think this second half of it, especially after the summer break, I feel like we're going to get some good racing. Exactly. If you sat there complaining, go watch something else for a bit and then come back to F1 when it's getting good again.
Yeah, which I don't want to jinx it.
I think it will.
But it's making me really think about my fantasy team because we have...
priorities.
It's so hard, and I feel like if people will be like this, you're watching the race and you wanted something to happen, but if it's going to affect your team, it's kind of like
no. I set my team about 3 weeks ago and I've not touched it since. I have no idea what I'm doing. I feel like I need a masterclass in F1 fantasy from you.
I have tried to be so smart. I listen to Scotty. He's like dead into it. He has his own like league. It's so hard. However, this week they've increased it. You can make 3 changes now, if anyone didn't know. Well, I can make 3 changes, so keep that in mind for Canada. But I've got something in my bag.
Who's in your team? Because I don't know if I've made a good decision or not. Let me actually indulge you for a sec.
Currently, I'll say what it was this weekend because I am changing it. But
how do you find out what it was this weekend?
You just go on my team. I've not changed my team yet.
Where's that?
So my team is actually called Science of the Times.
How did you find this? Because I've gone to the home thing and it says go to change for Canada.
Yeah, and then go on my team.
Is there a separate app for this?
No. So here's the home page. Click on my team.
Why did it say that?
Have you logged in?
Yeah. Mine says, home, statistics, prizes, what's new, how to play.
Go down. Are you on an app? I'm on Google.
Oh, I'm on the F1 app.
Well, I'll run through my team while you find yours.
Okay.
But I, for this weekend, which was the worst decision ever. Tate, I'm just filming something. Sorry. Kill that. The ghost is caught in my room.
You're editing this week.
Oh, I know. So I had Charles on the times two. Then I had Daniel Ricciardo, Yuki Tsunoda. I feel like you should never have two people in the same team. But it's so hard to spread your money. Then I had Esteban Ocon. And Nico Hülkenberg. And my two teams were Red Bull and Ferrari. So I'll tell you how many points I got. This was probably the worst week for points for me. My team. I only got 122 points, whereas for Miami, I got 243. It was a sprint weekend.
Oh, my God. So, do you want me to tell you what I got for Monaco? My team is actually called Starting From The Pits, which actually is quite smart, given that the podcast is called
Starting From The Pits League.
I feel like I'm a bit late in the season for that.
You can do it for, like the British Grand Prix. You could do, like, a specific one.
Maybe we'll sort that out. But my team was Carlos was my times two, Lando, Fernando, Esteban, Alex.
That's not bad, but what are your teams?
Aston Martin and Williams.
There you go. So the key is I think, because I had one good team, one not as good team, and I was like, not getting any. You need two good teams. But
I didn't have the budget for that because I had Fernando Alonso and Carlos Sainz and Lando Norris.
So Nico Hülkenberg got me minus 32 points this weekend.
Esteban got me minus 19.
Same.
I got 80 points in total.
So and Red Bull only got me 8 points because Perez minus 20.
Should we do our teams now?
I have to sit down. I can't.
All right. Okay.
Out because we have got whoever's last in our private league at Silverstone has to buy a round.
That'll cost you like a whole house.
Yeah. So you know, I'm
pretty important.
And at the end of the season, we've got a cash prize.
Oh, fair enough.
And I'm really far behind first.
Okay.
So I can't give away my secrets.
All right, okay. Noted. Right, should we wrap up?
Yeah. We'll have another ep before before Canada. So
we'll do a Le Mans special.
Yes, and yeah, you need to update us once you get back.
I will.
From the neighborhood. Are you flying?
Yeah.
Exciting. Flying to where?
Cologne, and then drive in an hour. I've got to drive down the Autobahn.
On your own?
No, with Chris that I'm going with. So I've got to drive a manual abroad on the wrong side.
I need to sign saying filming.
Recording in process.
Recording in process. One word to sum up your weekend.
Oh God, this is hard. Deserving.
Nice word.
What's yours?
I was going to say patriotic. Is that how you say it?
Patriotic.
No, because...
Yeah, I get it.
Prince.
I get it.
It got... Like, it just felt very, like... I can imagine that is... If you were born in Monaco, like, that is probably one of the best things that's ever...
Yeah.
...in the past years in that country. And it just felt really, like...
Patriotic,
yeah.
Perfect.
And people right. do call him the Prince of Monaco, so yeah, that's how I sum up the Perfect. Weekend.
Right, well, we'll catch you all in another episode very, very soon.
See you next week.
Bye.